All right, everybody, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast presented by Gemini, your bridge to the future of money. It is another rundown, and I am joined by our friend Brian. Brian, welcome back to the show. We had you on Friday, and then we had to bring you back. Brendan's doing some research. We're going to get him going on Friday at 2 p.m. I put a post in the YouTube to let everybody know our schedule this week. So we're here today right now. Thank you all for joining us. And we're going to be back with Brendan on Friday and do a deep dive into technical analysis. But Brian stepped up and stepped in, so we get an episode out. Brian, welcome back. How was your weekend? Shout out to Deborah with the Go Hens in the chat, because the Hens won the homecoming game. But how are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Feeling cozy like you. We got a little bit of a cold front coming through the United States, but I love doing these shows, man. Whenever you hit me up to jump on the rundown, I'll never say no, to be completely honest with you. I love the chat. I love chatting it up with you, and there's always something to talk about in this market.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. We've got a good thing going here. It's always fun, whether it's, you know, we got the whole team, or it's just Brendan or you, or with Joe and everybody. These are really fun, and definitely we appreciate everybody in the chat and the community for always jumping in and all that stuff. It's been really fun to kind of build this show. But over the weekend, there's been some good news, and the market has been ticking up a little bit. I guess we could start with the fact that the government shutdown. We can kind of bring that up first. I'm working on some technical things, making sure the stream's live, Brian. So I'm going to pull this up and then hand it off to you.
Yeah, I mean, we got good news. We talked about this on Friday, and kudos to you, TiVo. We were looking at the date range. I think it was at the end of this week, that there could be a relief from this possible government shutdown. And sure enough, really positive moves here, where it looks like people are going to probably be able to get on a plane to enjoy their loved ones for Thanksgiving. And the market really liked it yesterday in particular, or really going into Sunday, whenever this government shutdown started to get buzz that the government shutdown was going to come back, people were going to come back to work, the market started to creep back up. And that's normal, because Bitcoin, Ethereum, crypto digital assets are still looked at as risk on assets. So typically whenever there's government shutdowns or tariff issues or any speculative things along those lines, that we have some volatility at the end of the day. But government looks like it's going to be turning the engine back on here. And the market was definitely reacting yesterday in a positive way.
Yeah, we'll pull up CoinMarketCap in a second, but we will bring back up Polymarket. And I'll take the flowers. We had this up on November 7th on Friday. If you guys can see there, we're looking at the orange line there. The orange line, November 12th through the 15th, at 95% now. If you're tuning into the show on Friday with us live, I said, this is going to get solved. I think this is the week. The travel, the airplane stuff, like you said, is getting a little heavy. And, you know, this administration is an old school administration, and people are going to start canceling their travel plans this week for Thanksgiving. And that's not the kind of talk you want at the table in a couple weeks as families get together. So we gave it out. We gave it out as not financial advice, just a couple friends looking at Polymarket, trying to get some odds. And it was 25% on November 7th. So you could have bought in at 25%, and it shot up to 95% there. I mean, that's a quick couple bucks there that you could have made. I needed that one. I needed that W, because I'll tell you this, me and Brian were talking a little football last night, getting some bets in for Monday Night Football, and they did not work out quite well. So we'll take our Polymarket win, but that's what we give here on the Crypto 101 Rundown. There's a lot of alpha. There's a lot of alpha, not just in the Polymarkets. If you were here on Friday, there was also a little sneak peek of a little pick that Brian gave that did quite well. But let's pull up CoinMarketCap, because now that things seem to be coming back with the government shutdown ending, it's an interesting spot. Bitcoin held above 100K. Ethereum had a solid bounce back. We're going to be hitting on some Bitcoin buyers. There was Ethereum buyers. And then, you know, the altcoin market, everybody's been waiting for altcoin season. Certainly has not happened by any means, but again, things are kind of leveling off. I think it was a sharper rebound Sunday night, especially into the futures for stocks, crypto, Bitcoin. But I still think that there's just this kind of overarching fear of, you know, what's going to happen here while we're up at all-time highs. How's the Fed going to play out in December? They're still flying blind with the data. So I still think the market is definitely breathing a sigh of relief, but we're still a little clenched because you got to wait in for all the jobs data, for all the CPIs, the PPIs. I mean, we've been flying blind here from government data for, you know, close to 6 weeks. So when that stuff kind of gets backdated and starts rolling out again, the Fed's going to make their decisions. So again, it kind of all comes down to that if you're somebody who's investing into the day by day, week by week. But any price action stick out to you, Brian, that you want to cover?
All right, Crypt Nation fam, let's pause for 1 second and talk about an important issue going on right now, and that's SIM swap attacks. SIM swap attacks are becoming a serious threat, especially in crypto. If someone gets control of your phone number, they can access your bank accounts, your exchanges, emails, and even your private messages. That's why the Crypto 101 podcast is partnered with Afani. It's America's most secure mobile service, offering a guaranteed protection against SIM swaps with added privacy. Since launching, not one single Afani user has ever been SIM swapped. And for some reason, if it ever does happen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance against financial losses. This is literally why we chose to partner with them. It is our favorite thing about Afani is the insurance policy of up to $5 million if it does happen to you. Afani runs on either AT&T or the Verizon network, and you get to choose which one. There are no contracts, and it is super easy and seamless to sign up. You also get a 60-day money-back guarantee, so there's zero risk in trying it out. Right now, for our listeners, you get $99 off when you sign up at Afani.com/crypto101. That's Afani.com/crypto101, or check the show notes below for a link. These days, your phone number is probably more valuable than your social security number. So make sure it's protected with Afani.
All right, Crypt Nation fam, are you interested in effortlessly growing your Bitcoin portfolio? Because I know I am. The Bitcoin credit card by Gemini earns you Bitcoin back on every purchase. Use it like any credit card. You buy lunch, you get gas, any of your weekly grocery expenses, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight into your account. All that with no annual fee. And right now, you can grab $200 of Bitcoin. That's right, a $200 Bitcoin welcome bonus with the Gemini credit card. It is the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stack. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. See the link in the description for more information regarding rates and fees.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary. With Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Yeah, just to kind of point it out, I mean, we're sitting at a 31 in fear, kind of getting out of the... I think on Friday we were in extreme fear, or dang close, and now we're creeping up out of that range, and I think for good reason. Personally, I don't think we're really out of the woods yet, and this is just my gut call. I don't think we're really out of the woods. I believe that we're going to still chop a little bit going into Thanksgiving and possibly even through Thanksgiving. And then I'm really, my gut's telling me then we're going to really take off into that. You know, we all call it like a Santa's rally, but I really believe the end of the year could really be spectacular for crypto. So there's two sides to this at the end of the day. Nobody loves major volatility in the present moment, myself included. We all get, you know, that sweaty palms whenever, you know, you just see our favorite assets leak with really no reason. But at the end of the day, it gives us opportunity to continue dollar cost averaging in at a very attractive price, because you can see just even the slightest positive news can really move the market in a positive way. I think Bitcoin is still kind of the asset to, if you don't want to like stay up at night and lose sleep, I think Bitcoin's kind of the asset to own or dollar cost average into. Again, not financial advice, but that's kind of my personal thinking, because alts, of course, can have some major swings here while we figure out all the plethora of reasons with the CPI and the jobs and really this official government shutdown. But Bitcoin looks good, in my opinion. We're still sitting above that key, like 103, 100,000, but 103 closing on the week would be would be great. And I do. I think we chop for a little bit longer. This wasn't a surprise. We're doing a show on a holiday too. Shout out to all the veterans out there. Appreciate your service more than anything. And it doesn't surprise me that we took a little bit of a red dip on a holiday like this, and then with all the government uncertainty. But any sort of positive news seems to really candle us up in a positive way. And I think we chop for a few more weeks, but then we're going to be off to the races.
Yeah, couldn't agree more with thank you to the veterans. I was going to do a little sign off there at the end of the show as well. But yeah, we appreciate everybody who, you know, serves our great country and gives us the opportunity to you know, have fun on the internet and do this show and live like we live in an awesome country. So thank you to everybody. If there's any veterans out there in the chat, we love you. But this is a little sample before we bring Brendan on Friday for a deeper dive into some technical analysis of everything that's going on. That's why I think it was a good idea, actually. Brendan was busy doing his research, but it's actually good to let the week maybe flush out a little bit more after the news, and then we can get some real deep dive on Friday. So if you're interested in that deep dive, definitely come back on Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. But the 50 days, so this is something that Brendan was showing on the charts as well, just to show you, like, we've wicked below. You can see this a couple different times. Brendan's actually showed this. It's here. We got it here, a wick below, here, a wick below, and then here we go. Another little wick below that happened last week. So we've held it. I think that's definitely important. I think everybody would say probably fundamentally, psychologically, technically, 100K is very important, or else you're looking at, you know, another flush to the downside. So something that we're going to be watching. But with the government opening back up, just quick on some government notes, that means that legislation's back open. U.S. lawmakers released a draft of the bill for crypto market legislation. This stuff keeps rolling along. We cover it here all the time because we think it's important, but you got Brian Armstrong, you got Vlad, you got the Winklevoss twins. Everybody's down there in D.C. You know, they have some friends, and, you know, obviously they're heavy donors and trying to get a lot of people elected on both sides of the aisle. But this stuff's going to pick back up, which we think long term is bullish. But I do want to mention there was something that came out this weekend that President Trump tweeted out and talked about doing a dividend, a tariff dividend, if you will, of $2,000 per person, kind of back to when the COVID checks came. And that was a huge liquidity boost. And obviously we go back and we can show the history of that price action. If you just zoom out on any chart, it was definitely a catalyst for more. So people were talking about, hey, is this going to happen? Another check coming out and people are going to be cashing it. It was all over the timeline Sunday morning. But with that said, I think it's important to note that Scott Bessent, who again on this program, we have highlighted that he is the mouthpiece for President Trump, especially for the financial markets. And he started doing kind of, I don't know if I call it damage control, but a little bit of elaboration of this tweet. And he did the rounds on Sunday morning on, you know, Meet the Press and all those other, you know, what is it, 3, 6, and 10 channels, ABC, CBS. He went bam, 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 and said the same thing. Like, well, the $2,000 dividend, I think this was kind of a quote, was it could be distributed in many ways, whether it was tax breaks for, you know, people with their taxes. It could be a child care credit, something with health insurance. So I think they're looking into ways to maybe give some people some breaks, but it felt like Scott Bessent went on the press tour to really dampen the thought of checks being cut and sent. And it was all over the timeline. And from this tweet, you could take that. Not, you know, it was an interesting couple hours, but I think it's important for all the listeners to know that I don't think that's as, you know, as probable as a tweet like this might say. But any thoughts on that, Brian?
Yeah, we don't have full details behind this, you know, but if we do get some checks or tax breaks, it's only going to be positive for liquidity in the market. And we know what happened last time any sort of stimmy check came out. I'm not sure if that's going to happen, like you said, this go around, but it's still positive action. It really wasn't on my bingo card. I wasn't expecting a tweet like this from Donald Trump, but it's the administration we have. It's You got to have your head on a swivel.
No, it's a good point. And it's like what you're saying with the odds for the shutdown. It's like, hey, should we sprinkle 4% for a later open date? Just because, you know, you can't really take anything the administration says at full value unless you hear from all the characters involved. Because it is just like the markets. It's very, very, very volatile. And then one more piece of news is IRS issuing guidance for allowing crypto ETPs to stake for digital assets. Again, we think staking is coming to most, if not all, products that have the ability to do it. But Brian, are you excited for this?
Yeah, I mean, it removes a big barrier for regulated funds to include stakings as part of their investment offerings, which will absolutely boost adoption. I think this is huge news. It's something that we've been kind of chatting about for quite some time. But to see the IRS issue this new guidance and creates a what they call a safe harbor, allowing these crypto ETPs or trusts to stake digital assets without losing their status as an investment fund. But then they can distribute the staking rewards to the actual holders of the ETP, ETF. So I think it's huge news out there. I think a lot of people that are, you know, investing in the ETFs and the ETPs and looking at those avenues are going to be very excited. It's a huge part of, you know, DeFi and Ethereum and staking. It's massive, and it's great to see them moving in a positive direction.
Yeah, and my biggest thing for the staking is definitely where it'll take a long time for sure for these funds to be able to do this, but you know, it kind of opens up to all these dividend. I think in theory, it would open up the opportunity for these dividend funds to start investing in certain products. You know, obviously, it would probably be Ethereum first, then maybe a Solana. But again, there's a lot of funds that they have a mandate where they have to, they have to go and buy stocks or, you know, funds or ETFs that have a certain dividend to distribute. And so I wonder if these staking ETFs eventually will qualify for that. And then that opens the floodgates to a whole bunch of different capital. But honestly, we're going to move on here to our main event. The main event, the news of the week. People are saying like, hey, TiVo, the government shut down. Like, are you going to talk about it? What do you think this means for Bitcoin? And I was like, guys, were you actually listening to the show on Friday when we told you everything was going to be fine? We told you the exact date the government was going to open. We gave you the 33% odds on Polymarket. We said, you take that, you're going to be fine. You're going to make your money from that. And then don't worry, because the McRib's coming back. And we pulled up the map. I pulled up the literal national map of reported sightings of the McRib and said, guys, it's probably here. There wasn't like a confirmed tweet, but there was leaks. I had intel from other McDonald's across the country that there were leaks. And then I get in my car. I finish on Friday. I had to go to the store. I'm driving down the street past my local McDonald's. And then, bam, I see it. The McRib is back. This is a photo from me on Friday afternoon after we just told you it was coming back, that my local McDonald's had that. So, again, everybody's saying the McRib is back. The timeline was flooded yesterday after the official tweet. Coinbase was tweeting it. All of the head influencers. And I just said, please, please credit Crypto 101 Podcast for just absolute boots on the ground journalism. And then we do. We have Jake R. in the chat. Jake R. got his McRib today for lunch, he's telling us. He was putting us on saying, hey, guys, this is it's a community effort. It's not just one person. It was the full community that got this going. And the Crypto 101 Podcast is a huge, huge background with food products and bringing us higher. We've got the crypto bagel that people loved, and now we're back on the McRib. So Brian, are you searching for a McRib this week? Is it going to calm your nerves and send Bitcoin higher?
I think it's the strongest indicator of all of crypto that the McRib is back. Bitcoin like 2x's on every time this McRib comes back. If it does, I'll get a McRib tattooed on myself. That's how excited I would be for the actual McRib to kick us into a bull market. It's exhilarating stuff, man. And to everybody that's watching the show, TiVo, boots on the ground to this guy, because when we get off of this rundown show, I'm just kind of spending some time with the family. I get the text message. Hey, this is from my local McDonald's. The McRib is back. And no joke, it may sound silly, but every time this damn sandwich comes back, we absolutely fire up with green candles. And I'm not one to fight. I'm not one to fight an obvious bull run. And McRib is driving the bus. And TiVo, hats off to you. Whoever the guys in the chat, hats off, because I'm going to eat a lot of McRibs if we 2x Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's third time's a charm. And I got this chart up here that has it, the McRib returns, and it just seems to be an absolute shoot to the upside with green candles. So something to definitely watch, will be very fun. Again, this is just one tool of data in your arsenal. Please do not base any decisions off the McRib, but hey, it's definitely, as this person says, not financial advice, but it is quite a delicious strategy, if you will, if you're interested in looking deeper into that. There's so many charts. Again, crypto Twitter is just buzzing that the McRib's back. And I think Michael Saylor is all in as well, because he continues to buy Bitcoin, whether the McRib is on or the McRib's not. But Strategy buys some more Bitcoin, 50 million more for Strategy. Another person I saw that bought some Bitcoin was a friend of the program, Vivek Ramaswamy. Strive, his company, buys an additional 162 million worth of Bitcoin. I think he's an interesting character to add to the Bitcoin bus because, you know, in the political cycles, I don't know if he's still running or planning to run for governor of Ohio, maybe. But again, he seems to like the political landscape. And I think he had a better kind of relationship with J.D. Vance than President Trump, per se. So it'll be interesting to see the next election cycle if he's in. But again, just a, you know, big businessman and strong political figure buying some more Bitcoin. And then again, with ETH, we got Tom Lee. Tom Lee's, I've heard this. That's the wrong link there. That might be. Let's see. No, link's broken.
While you find that link, I'm just going to call out. I'm just going to absolutely call out that, you know, smart money's buying, as, you know, a lot of like smaller retail people might be getting spooked and they're selling. But in addition to that, back to this McRib, because I can't shake it. We have like these multi-million and billion-dollar companies and handles like Coinbase tweeting about the McRib. So the indicator's there for everyone. But in all seriousness, we have some big major moves out there with Strategy, Vivek, Tom Lee. These guys are not shaken up by a small 2% dip in the market or a 5% dip in the market. They're looking at it as a buying opportunity. And I think that's how a lot of people need to look at it. They need to zoom out a little bit and realize that we've gotten some kind of negative news with like tariff issues and government shutdowns, and we've held pretty strong. What happens when we come out of it and we get rate cuts and we start to look stronger as an economy? I think all of these assets are going to absolutely fly.
Yeah, so BMRNR bought more ETH last week, and I saw a funny kind of breakdown on Tom Lee. It was like, when Tom Lee's hair is really well put together and combed, that he's really, really, really bullish. So it's like when he has a full head of hair, perfectly combed, slightly gelled, he's like, his conviction is very, very high. And then when it's a little bit, you know, a little bit bedhead, maybe not perfectly put together, it's not that he's selling. It's just like, hey, I'm not buying a lot of these levels. So I saw that, and I've known that, and I've been kind of looking at that recently. And then last week during this dip, he was perfectly put together, and I was like, oh man, I think Tom Lee's buying a bag right now, a big bag. And then obviously it starts coming out, you know, that BMNR. I'll pull up their full holdings right now. I think they just posted something yesterday about that. So the here we go. We'll share this. So again, and then I think somebody came out and actually bought a ton of BMNR shares. I know Kathy Woods ARK did last week, and then somebody else did as well. But they have 13.2 billion in total crypto, and that's 3.5 million of ETH, average price $3,639 as of yesterday. So I don't know. The second BitMine, I mean, that stat alone, like, since this was announced and we started covering it, like, it didn't exist, you know, months ago, right? Like, BitMine existed, but not as Ethereum treasury company, and now they're number two in the world, which I think is quite interesting. And then I pulled this, so I thought, again, I was kind of on the Tom Lee kick. I don't think we've had a Tom Lee video in a while, but I found one that wasn't necessarily tied to ETH specifically, but it was tied to kind of the long-term notion of investing, right? Like, that's kind of what we preach. in the sense of, you know, some of us really like to trade. We're not going to lie there. We do that. But the thesis of a lot of our holdings, and it's not personal financial advice for anybody, is that, hey, we do long-term holds, right? That's kind of, especially if you're in the intro level of our communities, we preach, you know, buying and holding, and these are long-term plays. And I think this was some unique alpha from Tom regarding that. So let's take a listen. And it applies to the Ethereum strategy, but just in general, I think this is good for our listeners.
I'd like to correct something that people have said, because I've been in markets, as you know, for 35 years.
Yep.
And I've never thought retail was wrong. I grew up at Smith Barney, which was what they call, quote, a wirehouse system. So there was a lot of retail investors. You know, that was their order flow was probably 50-50 institutional retail.
Mm.
I've in the 90s, retail was always right. So the reason is, I think retail, remember, not, I mean, I'm generalizing because there's a lot in retail. There's zero day traders, and there's Robinhood, and then there's Schwab, and then there's high net worth. But the reality is, the person who's buying stocks because they have a long-term view of stocks is going to get this market right.
Fact.
There are more of those people in retail than in institutions, because the institutional investor has a monthly bogey they got to beat, and they're under pressure to beat their peers. So sometimes they forget that NVIDIA is just a long-term buy. They're trying to time the market. So I would say anyone who operates with a long-term view is the smart money. And that's been mostly, more of those folks are in retail.
So I thought that was really interesting, because again, we're obviously considered retail investors. And Tom kind of has that view of, you know, the retail investor, obviously different from institutional in that sense. But I thought that one bit of long-term vision, number one, but also the benchmark. So people always wonder, oh, why Tivo, why is the price going down? Why is this? And like, you know, there's always macro levels of things that you can explain here or there. And sometimes there's really not. And I thought that was really interesting of the benchmark of, you know, these professional people. They're not just competing to grow the money and to invest correctly. They're actually competing against each other. And so you have all these people, and people want to beat, you know, this fund manager out, or I got to perform like this to get my bonus. And so, you know, they should be fiduciaries. There's a fiduciary duty to do this the right way. But, you know, greed fuels a lot as well. So that's why sometimes you might see some wild moves, is people are actually, you know, they're going for benchmarks of short term to cover some gains to try to, you know, get a raise or get their bonus versus a longer term view.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you know, we're long-term investors here at the end of the day. We see the path for digital assets, and especially certain assets like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and Solana to absolutely thrive. So, I mean, my take is just, it's smart money's buying, you know, and we'll, I think there's a lot of opportunity in the market right now.
Yeah, so I'm trying to find something, because it was a stat that I heard. I want to make sure... Let me make sure I get this right. Active fund managers. It's something about active. So this is a kind of a story to try to paint the picture. This is a story about the end of the year. So right now in 2025, mainly probably because of the tariff dip in April, active fund managers are actually underperforming. Just 21.9. So 22% of active fund managers have beaten the market year to date. It's the worst performance in the last 26 years. This is in sharp contrast to 60% seen in 2021 and 2022. So right now, just 22% are outperforming. Back in 2021 and 2022, before the last correction, it was 60%. So this is well below the average of 42%. So, you know, when you start reading those numbers, what does that mean? So what does that mean for the end of the year? Are the people that are underperforming, are they going to sell? Are they? I don't know. We don't know. I don't have a crystal ball here, but I'm just, you know, from deductive reasoning, this is kind of the case for the run into the end of the year, is all these people are underperforming. So what you might do is say, hey, I underperformed. I'm cutting some losses, especially if you lost a ton of money. I guess you'd take the tax loss harvest. But again, what stocks are down that poorly? that you have that much tax loss harvesting to do. Not many. So then it comes to, okay, well, why, if you don't have the tax loss harvest, why don't you have the gains? And it's because you got shook out, right? So if you got shook out, then you might have to get back in. And so as you're getting back in, it's called window dressing. It's like, well, I missed this 100% run in Robinhood, but I used to own it, so I'm going to buy it back. So now I'm going to buy it back, and it's called window dressing. So you can sit down at the end of the year and say, hey, we had this portfolio, we did a little underperformance, but now we're on the right track. Or you're going to be sitting on, you know, I guess piles of cash, or depending on what your MO is for your fund. But I think that stat of 22% of active fund managers have beaten the market. The average is 42, and more recently it's been about 60. So that kind of leaves a little bit of a gap there for a run into year end is kind of what I'm seeing. So I thought that was an interesting stat to bring to the people. Any thoughts, Brian? Or you're just enamored with my stats? You're like, where's Steve-O pulling this from? Unbelievable.
No, I mean, you nailed it. I mean, I can't really add too much to it because you just, you know, you dressed the cake perfect there.
All right, I'll toss it to this one. I'm excited about this one for you because I just scheduled you for a summit interview, and we'll put the links in the bio for our next summit. But we're having a hedge fund summit. So we're bringing on a ton of people. Some of them we're going to release on the podcast, but I have you scheduled with the Canary Capital CEO, Brian. So you can ask him about this XRP ETF. And more importantly, I know you want to talk to him about the Pengu ETF. That's why I gave that one to you. But it looks like we got an XRP ETF. Shout out to the XRP Army. They know how much that we love them.
Yeah, I said that whenever I put this link in the chat, I was or on our sheet earlier today. I was like, man, an XRP ETF might happen this week. And I am not the biggest XRP fan. We've talked about that in the past, but I even told TiVo off air. I was like, hats off to the XRP Army because they are just ruthless. They hold, and then if you say anything bad about their token, they attack you. It is a legit army, and hats off to them. I hope they get an ETF. I think it's only great for the entire market. And I got some good buddies that are big XRP guys. And, you know, I even had one just this past Saturday. We were sitting down. He's like, you still kind of not a huge XRP fan. And I was like, listen, the price will probably go up. And there's reasons with the tokenomics and around why I don't love it. And I find some better opportunities. But he goes, well, I'm just never selling. And I go, that's what makes this token so interesting is because the community behind it. Not only does it have some very interesting utility out there at the end of the day and what they're trying to build, but they have a very cult-like community. So they're pushing for an ETF. Let's make it happen, because if XRP is getting an ETF, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lot of other ones too.
Yeah, 100%. Canary Capital, we had an awesome podcast with him if you didn't listen to it. I think it was about two months ago. All you have to search for is Crypto 101 Podcast Canary Capital. But we're bringing him back on for the summit for an end of year update. Brian's going to conduct that interview, so that'll be a good one. But yeah, a lot of momentum in the ETF space. 2026 is going to be quite the interesting year. But I'm going to hand the reins over to you. Take us home. Our last section, a little bit of memes, NFTs, prediction markets with Brian. The people, you know, you were here Friday, but it's like it's your specialty. So take us home. You lead. I'll pull up and add some color where I can. But take us home.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest things that's happening between yesterday and today, we've had three token launch pads announced, all within the Coinbase or Base ecosystem at the end of the day. As you can see, what TiVo brought up there is Coinbase is doing token launches. They want to make it a lot better. It's going to have early access to a lot of your favorite tokens. They want to support real supporters and prioritize them. US users can finally join. They're gonna have very strong token distribution. It's just you can see growing interest in token launch pads and to make it better. And Coinbase, hats off, they're continuing to innovate, they're continuing to build out there. And then Monad has been a very popular layer one blockchain who has had, they had an airdrop registration recently, but now they're going to have a public ICO sale, I believe, just in a week. And that's going to be the first one on this Coinbase platform. And then not only did Coinbase, hit that second link as well. There's a tweet by Tyler that was super interesting, I thought, is that one detail in the Coinbase new launch pad, those who sell early face consequences. I believe if you sell or apportion a certain amount within the first 30 days, it could restrict you from future token sales. So that's going to really help tighten up, you know, people trying to like just buy and sell and quick flip and these pump and dump schemes. So an interesting mechanic. I'm curious to see how that will all shake out. And then we have virtuals, one of my favorite tokens out there, honestly. It is a AI agent launch pad. It's found in the Base ecosystem. They introduced Luna.fun. It's a meme coin launch pad with AI generated content. So every token on Luna is going to power its own content engine. It's really where AI agents produce content and they're going to earn revenue on chain through this whole AI economy. And then lastly, we have OpenServe, who's introducing a launchpad as well. That's going to be on base. It's going to be powered by Aerodrome. Shout out Aerodrome. Huge Aerodrome guy right here. And they're introducing the first AI native launchpad as well. As you can see, where founders build, launch, and scale AI, investors get to co-own the next generation of tokenized assets. But what I'm saying here is that launchpads are still a thing. New token launches are still a thing. Now we're integrating it with AI, with internet capital markets. It's just a super interesting time to be glued in. And this is all centered around like Coinbase and the Base ecosystem. And we're already bullish on what Coinbase and, you know, the Base ecosystem's been building, but it's great to see how they're continuing to develop and most importantly, innovate. They're just not sitting on their hands and collecting a check from all the fees. They're continuing to deliver to the people that matter the most.
I've got thrown off my game here. I got people in my group chat sending me pictures of me in this sweater saying I'm cold.
Grant's, I love it.
Grant's killing me in the chat right now, murdering me.
I love it, man. I love it. I was in there chirping a little bit too, not going to lie. And then next up, you can bring the next link while you defend yourself the best you can. But Grant, I'm sure, is sharp and absolutely ruthless. But maybe we just deliver everyone for a little Christmas gift that hoodie. Zcash, we brought it up. I'm not a holder of Zcash, but we brought it up on Friday's show, so I had to bring it up here. And again, hey, if you want a little bit of alpha, you got to tune into these rundowns because we were staring at it at like $700. And I was like, we can't buy it here. But privacy coins in this meta has absolutely, you know, taken the market by storm. And we even like kind of joked, we're like, this doesn't look like a chart you want to buy. It looks like a chart you want to short. And that's not because of what Zcash does or the future. And I do think it continues to do well. But it just was like up and you call it a hockey stick. Nothing goes up in a straight line. So that was pretty obvious that we were going to see a pretty major correction. And we did. It's sitting right around $490-$500 right now. Going to throw this back to you, TiVo.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on Zcash in this major correction? Do you think we keep dipping? Do you think we have a little bounce?
I don't know, man. Looks like it's hitting that Mochi cloud there, which it likes to bounce off of, I guess. I mean, anything that's like a hockey stick, you know, I tend to stay away from unless I was in early enough, like Robinhood when I gave it out on the Crypto 101 podcast at $9.
Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah, Zcash, I mean, again, for me, it's hard to jump in there when the hockey stick like that. We kind of, again, covered that the other day. Just said, hey, be careful in this. And yeah, you can see there it's coming back in. But I don't know. I think there's always opportunities, and that's what we try to do on the show, right? It's trying to figure out where and what, you know, where the opportunities are. Speaking of Robinhood, we got the Jupiter Robinhood partnership kind of continuing on here. So what have you heard of that? I know you're bullish on kind of that tokenization of stocks. Robinhood's kind of leading the way. Honestly, kind of the bad boys of finance, if you will, in a bit. They're kind of like, yeah, we're doing this. And then all these companies came out and were like, we don't give you permission. And they're just like, you don't need to. It's an interesting little back and forth. But I think the legislation will kind of clear the runway. But anything you're seeing specific here with Jupiter?
Yeah, I mean, Vlad's continuing to cook over there on Robinhood. And then, you know, Jupiter is one of the, you know, most popular exchanges out there as well. and they have a token, and this integration or this partnership, I should say, is really interesting to me because you can swap and trade SPL tokens. Just for clarification, SPL tokens are the token standard on Sol. So like Ethereum has tokens, they are ERC-20 tokens. These are the SPL tokens. And you can trade Sol-based tokens directly on Robinhood, or at least this integration. It's a big move for Solana. I think it's I'm bullish on all of these names here. Jupiter, Robinhood, Solana, and they're kind of making a baby here. And Robinhood's coming out with their own wallet, offering SPL tokens. I think it's going to be good for Sol-based tokens. I think it's going to be good for Jupiter. I think it's going to be good for Robinhood. And it's pretty big news. Again, we might be like taking some dips here in some of these prices, or just like, you know, a 2% dip here, 5% dip here, back up. But major, very smart people, major companies are continuing to collab, partnership, and make things happen because they see the long-term vision that finance is going to be disrupted by crypto and digital assets. And this is just another reason why we should be all very excited for the future.
Yeah. And again, everybody's piling in. It's partnerships left and right. Everything from, you know, what is crypto and tokenization, blockchains, and then obviously these betting markets too. So Prize Picks, which is a huge name in kind of what daily fantasy picks, decides to jump into the bed with Polymarket, which is interesting. I don't know exactly why. I don't know. I'll hand this off to you. Like, why does Polymarket need Prize Picks, I guess, would be my question. Any thoughts?
You know, I think they just, I mean, Prize Picks is one of the leading fantasy companies in the entire world. And this is a multi-year partnership with Polymarket to facilitate purchase of these event contracts. And they're going to have a soon-to-be-launched prediction markets offering. I don't think Polymarket's going to turn away a major partnership with one of the top fantasy platforms around, you know, because it's only going to give them better exposure, going to give them more money due to fees. And it just continues to endorse that these prediction markets are here to stay. And then on the Prize Pick side of things, they're looking at it as like, great, we're a leader in fantasy sports. We probably don't have I don't know the specifics of it, but they probably don't have a sports betting license. So they can give their customer, who already are interested in wagering, already interested in fantasy, they're going to give them the option now with these prediction markets. It is starting to feel slightly saturated here with all these prediction markets and how many are coming up and how many are collabing. I don't think every one of them is going to survive, but Polymarket feels like one of the best out there, the Kalshis of the world. And they're teaming up with major, I mean, they're all kind of grabbing each other, you know, like Prize Picks, right? We need you. Polymarket's like, hey, we'll be your provider. We'll be your infrastructure. Let's make a baby and make this happen. So prediction markets aren't going to go anywhere, but I'll be curious to kind of see, because like every day I like wake up and there's like another prediction market teaming up with another major company. But this goes to show you why the New York Stock Exchange parent company gave Polymarket $2 billion for their data. This goes to show you why they were valued at 10 to 15 billion with a B dollars. The world has an appetite for this. And we talked about this, I think, on one of these rundown shows, like DraftKings acquiring Railbird in their prediction market. Obviously, a lot of these major, you know, sports wagering houses or fancy houses see an opportunity here and they're jumping on it. And, you know, once something gets too big, it's not going to get shut down, but there'll probably be some regulation here. So really curious to see how it all develops in the long run.
Yeah, there has to be, because you got to think the lobbyists for DraftKings and FanDuel, just to even get that across the finish line like it has in the last 5 years. I mean, you know, you can just pull up. I mean, I'll pull it up right now. It was what DraftKings stock. I don't know. Let's go year to date and we'll share this tab. And so, yeah, I mean, 16%, you know, obviously it's kind of like a little bit, not quite a double top there for doing a little TA, but, you know, this is when the, you know, the prediction markets have been a huge, huge vocal point this year. And you could just see this stock, you know, kind of struggling, down 30% on the year. again, that's for really the leader in sports. And we love DraftKings and we love FanDuel. If any of them want to sponsor us for some prediction markets, we're here to help. From the gambling space, I mean, let's look at Penn, my former employer, Penn Gaming stock. Let's take a look at them because I think there's a method to my madness here, Brian. Wow, down 23% this year. Wow, down 75%. Unbelievable. I was working at Penn here at about 120. I got hired here, and then I was working here, and then they let me go. And I mean, just you can see what happens. It's you hate to see that. I mean, you know
what I'm saying?
Well, I mean, the facts are the facts, Brian. I don't know what I am looking at the stock, and I'm just like, well, I used to, you know, I went up, and we were all really excited about it, and then, you know, things happened, I guess. And I mean, just the stock tells the story for itself. There, that's a tough 75% decline. But the story of that is obviously with Barstool, and the Barstool gambling app didn't work. They throw Barstool back to Dave for a dollar, and then they go and do ESPN Bet, and now they just announced recently that ESPN Bet's folding, and I don't know what they're going to do from there on out. But I think that's kind of a playbook, is that the oversaturation for the gambling market, because, you know, you're a big gambling guy, and you were at DraftKings, right? And then all this stuff was going live. It was DraftKings. It was FanDuel. It was, you know, ESPN Bet. And then Barstool Bet, MGM Bet, S Bet, this bet, that bet. Everybody needed a sports book, especially an app. And then now there's the consolidation phase that seems to be happening. And obviously the valuations of these companies got a little ahead of themselves. So now there's going to consolidate, and there's going to be a couple winners, and then it's going to, you know, move on. And I feel like that's going to be the story of the prediction markets here. And obviously now's the time where everybody's launching one, and there's so many, and, you know, maybe the crypto decentralized version of it allows there to be some more operating on the blockchain. But I think, you know, 5 years from now, we're going to look back and be like, man, remember all those partnerships and all those, you know, prediction markets. And now we're going to have a couple that everybody uses.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think it's going to consolidate, but it does feel like there's a movement here. You know, we haven't really talked about this personally. You're even on the show. We have all these like sports, the Terry Rozier's and the Chauncey Billups and all these issues with, you know, with people getting literally shaving points or cutting down on their props. And you've seen this UFC fight or all this stuff. And a lot of those things, that's like the good side of sports books and legalized gambling, because all those were kind of getting uncovered because of irregular betting on these centralized sports books. They saw the money flowing in. Back in the day when you had a bookie, it was all through the mob or something, you know, there was no way to track this at all.
Right.
So the more we evolve into a more sophisticated system, it should, you know, help clean up and help tighten up a lot of these, you know, integrity of the game at the end of the day. But it does feel like there was a movement here, like bookies years and years ago were the only way to, you know, place a bet. And then sports books came out and people really shunned them. And now you can't turn on ESPN or ABC. Like, I was watching Sunday morning football and they were just like constantly, they were just like, this is like Matt Barry's like, this is my 3-team parlay. This is my prop parlay. Like, they've just, obviously the NFL wants gambling. They are endorsing it. So there's a fine line here. How's this all going to look 5 years down the line? Are we going to see a change from like what happened with bookies and it moved to these centralized sports books? Is that what's happening to these sports books with prediction markets now? Is it going to change so much that we're really only going to be looking at these peer-to-peer event contracts? I'm fascinated by it. As somebody who likes to wager, as somebody who likes technology, who obviously loves blockchain, I do foresee like this is going to evolve and prediction markets are going to take over the space, but how that's going to look, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, and that's why we cover it and we dive into it. We gave an absolute winner last week. Again, you could cash that out today and, you know, more than double your money. So people love to see that for the good people of the Crypto 101 podcast for tuning in. I've been trying to, I think we would be down to do a prediction market show. It's just the bandwidth of the time, but if it's people want and the people are in the comments asking for it, we'll see what we can spin up, or if there's any sponsors out there that want to jump in, you know, we got quite a little handle between me and Brian that are just, Hey, it's somebody. Somebody can have it. Apparently, last night, Hard Rock Bet took it from me because Jalen Hurts didn't want to get a touchdown for getting the touch push. But you win some, you lose some. But your favorite, Brian, the Moonbirds. The link you sent me was broken. But while we were talking, that's all right. I found another one. Super producer here. So Moonbirds merch is coming. That's exciting. I do love those designs. I think that could be killer. This video here is trippy as anything. But Moonbirds announcing some merch. What do you think? Did you get any yet? What's the vibe here?
I didn't. I own a Moonbird. I've spent my fair share of money on crypto clothing over this time, and I might be aging myself out slightly to wear like a big Moonbird on my hoodie, but I think it's exciting. I think it's, you know, the Burbs family out there. What Spencer's building is super unique. Some of the designs are super cool. You know, it just goes to show you that some of these brands out there, even though the NFTs are, you know, seeing a few red days here, obviously, because they can be even more speculative than a lot of these digital assets or cryptos. But they're continuing to cook out there. I'm sure they're going to do well. But I believe they come in like a capsule form. You go on their website and buy some hoodies, buy some T-shirts. I actually sent this to Joe, my counterpart, on the side of things at Momentum Moneymakers. I was like, you picking up your Moonbirds hoodie? And he made a joke. He's like, I got 10 pairs of shoes from Artifacts that from Nike that, you know, they went under. He's like, I don't know if I can dive back in. But I don't think that's going to happen to Moonbirds. I think this is very interesting for the right people. But they're continuing to grow the brand, grow the IP. That's what it's all about. It's the Pudgy Penguin playbook.
Yeah, and then I saw something like Rec Drinks was in stores, maybe? Did you see that?
They were in 7-Eleven in California, but they sold out in like 5 minutes. I know they're trying to get bigger deals out there. They're coming out with an energy drink. No joke, yesterday I just got a new delivery of Rec Drinks. I have so many cases of Rec Drinks. I'm like giving them to my sister-in-law and nieces because they like them so much. They're like, oh, I like this. And I sent her home with 4 cases of all different flavors. But shout out, I did cash in. I believe it closes tomorrow. So if anybody's listening and you bought the MoonPay drink, I forget the like white grape and something, it's the purple can, you can claim your tokens now. I think you have until tomorrow. And I got like hundreds of dollars in Rec tokens. So it's an absolute score. I still love what they're doing at Rec Drinks, and you know, it's been volatile. It's still growing out there, but you know, a lot of these founders out there definitely have the secret sauce. I don't think everyone's going to be able to do it, but there's a handful out there, the Moonbirds, the Pudgies, the Recs, that continue to grow the IP and brand, and I think they're going to be around for quite some time.
Yeah, I think all these, I was talking to Grant yesterday actually about, he keeps asking when Pudgy's going to start flying again. I was like, listen, Grant, it's an IP play. Like we're looking for the next, I want a Pudgy kids show. Like I got a nephew. He's just Bluey this, Bluey that, Bluey for my birthday. You know, I need I guess Bluey's a dog and like some dad made it from Australia or something. And I was like, why, how can we get Pudgy Penguin to be the next Bluey and just get it on Netflix and have the kids fall in love with it? I think that's the play.
I thought they had a show of some sort or one coming out. I can't even keep up because they have so many partnerships at this time. Maybe it was they had an animated YouTube series called Little Pudgies. It debuted in spring of 2025. But it sounds like I believe they're coming out with another one. But you know, that brand overall, I know the Pengu token's taking a hit, but it's one of my favorite meme coins, if you even want to call it. It's one of my favorite plays out there. Of course, it is going to take altcoins are taking hits, but Pengu and Pudgy Penguins are one of the few companies out there that actually make millions and millions of dollars, you know, in Web 2, in Web 3. I believe they can continue to grow and be around. And, you know, volatility can sometimes be a blessing. No one loves it in the present moment, but then we'll be looking back on it a year from now and be like, dang, how did we miss that move?
For sure. Well, let's wrap it up with one question. We had one question come in from the chat from Josh. Josh Clark has been an absolute stud of a listener, always in the chat. He's asking about HBAR. You know, I personally, full disclosure, do not have any, and anything that Brian or I say about it, it's definitely not personal financial advice for you, Josh, or for anybody. But any thoughts on HBAR, Brian?
Yeah, I haven't been following it super closely. I have to be honest. I know it's like a public distributed ledger that uses like Hashgraph. It's by Hedera. It's used to like pay transactions and network services and secure networks through staking. I don't want to say too much about it. I mean, it's a multi-billion-dollar market cap. Is that the chart right there?
Yeah.
Looks pretty flat for the past year, which isn't terrible.
Yeah, one year, 227%. Oh. So good for you if you've been in for a year, depending on when you bought it. It's great. All time down 56% though.
Yeah, I mean, they'll probably with their ability to have like stablecoin settlement and tokenization and supply chain tracking, I could see it, you know, continue to do well. It's just real tough right now with a lot of these, if you wanted to call it altcoins, because we need a little bit of stabilization in the market at the end of the day. You know, Bitcoin moves down 2%, and then some of these alts will go down 10% or 20% within the same day for no reason. So you could look at that as an opportunity, but nothing sticks out. I haven't heard any negative news about Hedera. I know a few people in it that they like it. But I don't have a good vibe if I think it's a good buy or sell or hold. It's I don't have it in my personal portfolio.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't have much to say. And then Brendan could give you the technicals of this, but obviously, all time down 55%. So even during altcoin season, there it couldn't break through there, having trouble, keep hitting the top there. So something to watch. But depending on when you bought it, maybe it was a great buy and. Yeah, huge market cap and a lot of people in the project. So I'm sure there's definitely other people that are deeper in the project that could give you some thoughts about it. But just wanted to make sure that you were noticed there, Josh. We appreciate you being a part of it. And then, Brian, you mentioned it at kind of the top of the show there. But just appreciation for everybody. Thank you to all the veterans. I'm sure, we have tons of listeners, hundreds of thousands of people that listen to the show. I'm sure some of them are veterans, and I hope all of them, appreciate, what, at least, especially if you live in this country, what everybody who serves our military has done for us. So we really, really appreciate it. A big thank you to you guys on Veterans Day, but a thank you and thoughts to everybody, veterans and current military every day for sure.
No doubt. It's a special day for everyone, and we appreciate the service. It's the least we can say.
Yeah. And we appreciate it so much. Everybody else gets the day off, not us. We want to be here for you because we love you guys and we just love doing this and it's super fun. But that's going to be all for today. We appreciate everybody tuning in to the Crypto Rundown presented by Gemini. We're going to be back Friday. We're going to be back Friday, 2 p.m. Eastern. I put it in the post. We're going to have Brennan. We'll do some technical analysis and we'll cover in the rest of the news and we'll have a fun end week. But we always appreciate you guys listening. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time. Goodbye, everybody.